Brandon Albert will practice today, and we're going to have him take some just scout team reps. He's feeling better, but we're going to ease him back in and just see how he does with his knee there. Anthony Fasano worked with the scout team last week. He's going to come back and work in with the ones, and he's feeling pretty good, actually, so we'll see how he does. Eric Fisher will be back in, and he's sore but with a sublux shoulder that he had, but he's feeling better as the days have gone on here since the game. Justin Houston worked with the scout team last week. He's going to take some reps and just see what he can do with the defense, and we'll gauge on really how he feels. And JMJ, I mentioned, had a sore AC joint, and he'll be back in and see what he can do.
I'm sorry, Andy, the last guy.
Who was it? JMJ, James Michael Johnson, and then Dex. We're just going to take it period by period. He did the walkthrough today. His ankle's a little bit sore, but he's going to work through and see what he can do. The infection's under control and actually doing very well. So we'll gauge on what he can do. We had to make a couple moves. Harris had sprained his ankle, high ankle sprain, and fairly significant. So we put him down, and John brought in a couple people here, a wide receiver and tight end for the practice squad, and then Dominic Jones, we put on NFI, and we brought in Gordon from who had been with Pittsburgh last and had been drafted by the Raiders. He had a defensive background in college and then moved, converted over to the tight end position. So that's where we're at on the injury front and the move front. And I really can't comment on any of the details on NFI or any of that, just by rules there. So it's Fan Appreciation Day this Sunday, and I mentioned before on how much we appreciate the fans and their support. We have an opportunity here to play the Colts, and they're a playoff team. I mean, they're in, and we know how good they are. They're obviously very worthy of that position. They're well coached. They've got good football players. And they've got a great front office, and so we know that we've got to put in a good week of preparation this week and get ourselves ready to play a good football team. And we do need that 12th man, the support of the fans. And again, we do appreciate everything that they've done for us to date. So, and we look forward again to bringing the Colts in here for this home game. So, which potentially is a final home game. So, again, with that, time's yours.
Andy, you've said a number of times that Alex makes people around him better. I wonder if you could elaborate just a little bit on that, on how a quarterback in general, but Alex in particular, does that.
Yeah, well, a lot of it just starts with the work ethic and the time, effort, and preparation that they put in. In Alex's case, that he puts in. He's here. I mentioned this before the season started. We have rules and regulations in the off season on how many hours you can stay in the building. I had to kick him out of the building so we didn't get put on secret double probation before we ever got started. I mean, he just continued that as we've gone here. So he goes out there, and with his preparation, it makes everybody else prepare a little bit more, and then the defensive guys, they see it, they know that, and again, if you have the right people on a team, they're going to follow that lead and have their own preparation that they go through along with it. But there won't be any shortcuts, definitely, when your quarterback spends the time like that. And so we do have the right kind of guys on this team. We've got good leadership on this team. And so the guys, that's where it starts, with the preparation. And then how he practices, I think, is another big part. He's not joking around, and when it's time to go, it's time to go. Each rep means something, and he wants to make sure he's right on each rep, and that all of his guys around him are right. We do a lot of different things with personnel and with formations and motions and shifts and all that. And so you have to have the capacity, you have to have enough gigabytes to handle all that. But at the same time, you've also got to be able to execute it in that short period of time out there. And he's able to do that and get people lined up where they need to be. He's a great communicator that way. So, and then inevitably it comes down to your play also. That's another part of it. And so to be a leader and to be able to demand from people and yourself, you've got to also be productive, and he's been able to do that.
Coach, Jamal Charles, Player of the Week. Does he continually surprise you?
Well, you keep reminding me of these Player of the Weeks. I'm not very good at that, but he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and he does. He's obviously very valuable to this team, I appreciate probably most on how he comes to work every day and the attitude he brings. He wants to get better every day, demands a lot out of himself. Again, he's a preparation guy that he goes through a certain routine every day that probably drive half of us crazy to get done. But he does it religiously every day and gets himself ready. And when he's out there to practice, he practices his tail off. He carries the ball, he's going to carry it all the way to the end zone and come back. I mean, that's just how he does his business. So, but he does everything well. He catches the football well. He blocks well. He runs well.
People like to say, your teammates say about Jamal, people don't realize how tough he is. I mean, but how?
Well, he's soft-spoken. So, he and he's a good-looking guy and all that. And so, he, charismatic, the whole routine, he's got all that. But he's got this just competitive toughness to him that is relentless. That's a very – I've said this before. That's a very tough position to play in the National Football League. I mean, very tough. And you take a heck of a beating. And on Mondays, you're just not – it's tough to get out of bed. And so he handles all that. But he makes sure he takes care of his body, he trains, he eats right, he does all those things.
How much money is part of it you're talking about? I mean, is that something you kind of knew about him when you got here, or did you learn that about him this year?
Well, I would tell you, you hear things, but you don't really know until you get in the building and then the demands that you're putting on him might be different than somebody else. You just don't know. And I had heard he was tough, but when I got in here, I saw it firsthand. Yeah.
He's a veteran guy. How much learning was there in this offense? And if you look at the touchdowns from last week, each formation was completely different. What you were doing on those plays, it's easy to say, well, they were screen passes. They're all completely different. How much did he have to learn in this offense, even though he was a veteran player, with all the different looks and formations you have on some of these pass plays?
Yeah, to do the things that we're asking him to do, we're moving him all over the place in the pass game. And then we move him a little bit in the run game. Some of the things with the pitch trap you saw that he had on the third down, one of the third downs. I mean, we're asking him to move out and in different spots. And that takes a lot of preparation. He's got a great teacher in EB. Eric Bieniemy is a phenomenal teacher. And he's all in with him. He spent so much time with Eric, and Eric played in this offense and kind of understands how the whole thing works. Has coached in it. He coached with Brad at Minnesota, and so he knows how to take it and kind of break it down for him. And there are different categories that you can put it in and make it a little bit simpler. But The bottom line is you got to work at it, and he's willing to do that. He's a sharp kid. I mean, he, like I said, he's quiet, so he comes off like, but he's sharp, sharp.
And if Colts were 2-14 2 years ago, change GM, change coach, Brian in Florida. I heard that story before. I made the playoffs. What came up? I mean, you obviously as a quarterback guy looked at him. What did he bring to that franchise that tournament? What did you see in him coming up?
Yeah, I didn't study him a bunch, other just out of curiosity, because I knew that we weren't going to be in that position to take him. But I would tell you that I sure liked what I saw, you know, on the tape that I did look at when he was in college. I've been very impressed with him in the National Football League and what he's done there. It's tough to follow a legend, I mean, very tough, and he followed one. I think he's handled that absolutely the right way. I think he respects the heck out of Peyton. But then he knows he's going to put his personality on it. And he doesn't brag about it or step out of line with that part of it. And that's easier said than done. And, you know, I think you saw that when they went head-to-head with each other. And he had the ultimate respect there. So I think he's got a good feel for things. Not only a good football player, but a good feel for the profession.
You were kind of beating your mall to the first 9 weeks. The first bye week, I'm sure you didn't have to tell him to get away, to go rest up. But when he came back, did you kind of see like a little more juice there? Like did it seem to you like the bye week did him a lot of good?
Who?
Jamal?
Yeah, you know, Jamal's a family guy, and he has the kids, and I know he enjoys spending time with them and getting away. So what might seem like downtime when you're juggling kids can be almost more demanding than the job. But I think he enjoyed that time with them, but I think he enjoyed coming back too.
Andy, the first half of the season, your offense at times got things done. But here in the last month, it's been more productive, more consistent. Is that just the familiarity of player to player, player to scheme, you to player, the whole thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you're right on that. I just think the more you play together, more familiar become with each other within the system, the routes and that you're being asked to do, the blocking schemes, protections, all those things. Everybody just gets a little better feel for it. And the main thing is they didn't hang their head when things weren't necessarily going right. You'd see spurts where we'd finish a game strong and kind of start slow, finish strong. But the guys didn't get frustrated. They showed you that at that time, and they've kind of maintained it with the big picture of things. They've hung with it, and I mean, is every game going to be, you know, a big scoring game? No, you know, that's not how it works in this league. That foundation that they established way back was an important one.
It seems like the road marker on this was the bye week. The offensive discussion during the bye week was given the extra time to take a look at it and so forth. How did you come into that next game feeling about what you wanted to do?
Well, there were certainly the coaches broke down all the plays and tendencies and we went through all of that and tried to find out what we were the best at over the first 9 weeks. Maybe exploit that, run it a little bit more. At the same time, still try to get better at some things that you need to balance out the other things. And you know, so we went through that process. Things clicked a little bit more after the bye. But I thought we used our time well during the bye from a coaching staff standpoint. And then also I think the coaches were able to communicate that to the players. And, you know, these guys are professionals. They're the best in the world at what they do. So it's important that you try to get them in the right position and exploit their talents. And, you know, maybe we've done a little better job with that over the last couple of weeks.
Last two. Coach, now that you're in the playoffs, does your approach to this game against the Colts change any, knowing that you potentially see them again down the line?
It doesn't. No. I think you prepare yourself the same way. And we respect the heck out of the Colts. They're a playoff team. I said worthy of that. They're very worthy of that. And now you go get yourself ready to play four quarters of good football. If you play them again, then you get yourself ready again. You're far enough along in the season where you've got enough. There are enough plays. I mean, you have enough plays that you can mix and match with. So you're not going to run out of plays. I mean, that's just where we're at in the city. They're not going to run out of plays. We're not going to run out of plays. I mean, that's just how it is. Even if we played them back to back, the following week. I mean, it's just that's where we are in the season. So. No.
Coach, what are you seeing from the Colts defensively? And with all that, what makes Mathis such a dynamic pass rusher?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's playing like the MVP of the National Football League, right now, defensive MVP of the National Football League. You think of him as a pass rusher, but he's also very good against a run. We talked about moving Jamal around. They do that same thing with him. He's all over the place. Plays both sides. Plays inside. They do all different kinds of games and stunts with him. He's a humble guy on top of all. I mean, he keeps everything kind of in perspective. He handles it the right way, so he gives you an honest down every snap. And then you have to know where he's at. You absolutely have to. You got to locate any time he's on the field. You better be aware of where he's hanging out at, and take care of him. That's the ultimate respect. I mean, we give him the ultimate respect by doing that. Yeah.